You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Episode 195 of the IT and the D Show, and our geek flags are waving high because we have an amazing
flags.
Guest lineup.
Flags. I said just flags. To be clear. I know. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the flags.
Right.
That's geek, all that's waving high.
Geek flag. Yeah. You're a geek flag. We have Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science calling in.
So, what would you little maniacs
exactly. And Amy Jo Johnson from the Pink Power Ranger. This should be a very fun episode. Our guest with us, this is Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek. We have Jimmy McKnight from the Ninja Starship Podcast. He's going to be helping us out with the Power Rangers podcast.
Because we need it.
In the following segments, we have the team here from Merit Networks. We have,
I think half the office showed up because they thought Kelly and Amy Jo were going to be here.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
My phone's blowing up.
There's
everyone thinks
on my head, and I want to know why she's not here.
All right. That's Dr. Joe Adams. He's the VP of Research and Cybersecurity for the Michigan Cyber Range. We also have up here at Templeton here talking about some cool programs going on with Merit Networks. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1995.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Damn! Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
That guy in a little coat.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries.
To hell with it. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D. Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
We decided to make it female so that it would be more docile and controllable.
More docile and controllable.
I guess you guys don't get out much.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, that's it!
Are we at a break yet?
Houston, we have a problem.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds! What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Try to screw me some more very uncomfortable ones.
What, like the back of a Volkswagen?
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
As if I am only 16, and this is California, not Kentucky.
This is Robert Hayes, a tent striker to my mother.
When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Seems like that gunshot wound has improved your driving skills.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now, buckle this. Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is episode 195 of the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek.
Oof.
Nuri is in Manila somewhere. in the Philippines.
Thanking them for their folders, yes.
Thanking them for their folders. So in his place, we have the one and only, the infamous Jimmy McKnight from the Ninja Starship Podcast. Thank you for coming out, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
It's even more infamous after Saturday night. We'll get to those stories.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, boy. Great, great, great guest lineup. If you heard on the pre-roll, we have the team here from Merit Networks. Dr. Joe Adams, VP of Research of the Michigan Cyber Range, and also Pierrette Templeton, talking about a bunch of cool programs that go going on. Joined is also a gentleman named Bilal. He is the co-owner of the Ann Arbor Football Club that Michigan Cyber Range is a big sponsor. We're going to be talking about soccer in Ann Arbor, which is a great topic of mine. Also, Dave, did you hear who's calling in? We have two of our crushes from growing up. Kelly LeBrock.
Speak for yourself. Mine for her hasn't ended yet.
From Weird Science, and also Amy Jo Johnson. She is the Pink Power Ranger. And
let's be clear. I have put together 195 of those intros. She has not missed one of them.
No, I know. I know this. Trust me. Hey, mark your calendars. May 18th, Thursday, we're going to be at Nancy Whiskey's down in Corktown for a social. No cover, no speakers, no crappy anything. Just a good old talk with IT pros. And then also Motor City Comic Con, the granddaddy of them all.
Well, we got more, but and speaking of conferences and events, so here's the deal. If you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, listen up. There's an upcoming conference called Gateway 17, hosted by Alibaba right here in Detroit. And Alibaba, if you don't know, is the Chinese version of Amazon plus Google, and it's kind of huge.
Do you remember when we did the mashed potato machine?
Yes, that's where this came from.
That's where Alibaba came from. Totally.
So Gateway 17 is set up specifically to help you tap into the Chinese market. 500 million consumers, more than the entire U.S. population. Alibaba's created a huge marketplace but needs U.S. businesses to supply product, and they connect everything from inventory to marketing, translation, payment, shipping, returns. You supply the product, they do the rest. No product, no problem. They've got that too. Free samples, great prices, quality assurance, hundreds of millions of shoppers. Alibaba gets you access, and they make it easy. The details. So Gateway 17 is a two-day event right here in Metro Detroit. So for those of you that are out of state listening, you want to come into town for this, and I'll tell you why in a sec. It's June 20th through the 21st. Speakers are Jack Ma, a gentleman worth $20 billion with a B.
It's a B?
Billion.
He has doors that go like this, not like this.
Yeah, exactly. He has cars with gull wing doors for damn sure. David Ebney, CEO of UPS, Charlie Rose, and much, much more. The whole event is set up to be a matchmaker event. Educate and teach you everything you need to know. With $1 trillion of spending power here, this is how, and Gateway 17 is where to get started. It is kind of a limited availability thing, but for our listeners, we have scored you a great offer because they reached out to us because they know we have contacts and conduits in this area. The price for the conference is $500. Yes, you read that right, or you heard that right, $500, but our listeners pay $125. That's 75% off. Only $125. It's right here in Detroit, so for you here local, there's no hotel, no flight, no extra anything to pay for. For those of you that are out of the area, this is cheap enough that you might want to come in and check this out. So this is how you can take advantage of the amazing deal. You go to gateway17.com. That's G-A-T-E-W-A-Y, number 1, number 7.com. Enter ITD when you register. And this is a growth opportunity for current businesses. That's gateway17.com, code ITD. And that's that. And he had a caller and I was clicking. Oh, hello, this is the IT and the D Show. Who's this?
Hello, is this Dave Phillips?
I'm just going to isolate that drop right there. Yes, it is.
Hi, Dave, it's Kelly LeBrock.
How are you, Miss LeBrock?
I'm pretty good for an old fart.
Oh, please.
I'm tired.
Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. We are so looking forward to hearing you and seeing you when you're out here at the Motor City Comic Con. What have you been working on lately? Obviously, we all know you because of Weird Science. I understand you have a new show coming out with your daughter. So tell us a little bit about what you've got going on.
Well, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you some things.
Understandable.
The show I'm doing with my youngest daughter, who is one of the most beautiful models on the planet. Well, all mothers think their kids are beautiful, but she's a plus-size model, and she's doing this show, and it's called Growing Up Supermodel. And it's all about these young kids trying to get into the business, and basically they have celebrity parents. There's about 7 kids on the show, and we've been filming for the last 3 months, and it should come out at the end of the summer, and it's for Lifetime. And I think that people should really watch it because it's going to be a trip. My daughter is outrageous and fun and so honest and true, and I think it's going to be an interesting show. I really do. I'm going to have to leave town, of course, because we went bowling, and I get very crazy when I bowl or I play sports. I don't need booze to be a fool. Anyway, so it's been kind of fun. It's an interesting medium. You know, I love doing films, but there's not that many of those around that I want to do. I turned down a couple of films a few months ago, but the TV show has been a nice little thing to do.
Nice. I mean, because yeah, taking a look at your filmography, I mean, obviously, like I said, everybody knows Weird Science.
Red. I just went to a tribute for Gene Wilder that Mel Brooks put on, and it was amazing and fantastic. Gene Wilder was just such a freaking talent. He was extraordinary, and I really miss him.
We spent almost an entire episode talking about him, yeah.
And I do have to say that my mother was born in, and that my grandfather worked at the Ford factory in the lead booth.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice little Detroit touch there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you have the largest pop culture event of all events, right?
Well, so, I mean, there's San Diego Comic-Con, which is, you know, pretty insane. But for the Midwest, yeah, Motor City is decent. I mean, you're going to see on Saturday
55,000 guests.
Easily. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, we're going to be there. We've got two booths. We'll have our gear out there doing remote interviews and all that and shows while we're there, and it's insane.
The line to get water is 40,000 deep alone.
Detroit hosted the first Comic-Con in 1964?
Sheldor, yeah. Yes. So Sheldor is the guy that started, it was Detroit Fanfare at the time, and then he moved out to San Diego and started SDCC.
Well, they're a lot of fun, and I have to say it's really nice to see my fans, all two of them.
You've got more than that right here in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's good. That's lovely.
What do you maniacs want to do first has been in our intro for 195 shows. You have not left our intro this entire time we've done the show.
Would you like me to say it for you?
Please?
Yes, please.
All right. So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Yay!
So I guess, you know, obviously for the fans that are coming to see you next weekend, are you bringing photos? Are you bringing, you know, what sort of things should they expect when they see you there?
Well, yeah, I'm going to bring photos. I was thinking about doing some T-shirts that said the college, Stan, or whatever it is, the college, the last scene where I tell people to get down.
Ah, yes. Oh, yes. Drop and give me 20.
I thought that might be cool. But, you know, it's good to just do the photos. I'm very happy with that.
Awesome.
I'm not going to bake brownies or cakes or anything.
You'll recognize us. We'll be the two guys with the bras on our head. So, I mean, you know, we can't.
Oh, no, that's so funny. People do show up like that. It's great.
I can't imagine.
I was going to say, I'm sure we'll be the only two guys that are doing that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here's a kind of a weird thing. Did you ever think that Robert Downey Jr. would, like, be what he is right now, like Iron Man? And, you know, when you worked with him, he was a kid, wasn't he? Like, he was in his early 20s?
Early 20s. He had a small role. No one had really heard of him. And he was a wild one. He was definitely a wild one. But he's amazing. You know, that's what's fantastic about the Hollywood and the business is you can go from nowhere to somewhere and then screw up royally and then come back bigger than ever. He is Iron Man.
Right. Hollywood loves a comeback story. They always have.
You know, I love that he's sober and that he's sane and that he has a family and a wife, and God bless him.
Absolutely.
I only wish good on people. That's a nice way to be.
Beautiful. Well, hey, 2 weeks from now, we cannot wait to meet you in person.
Yes, everybody better be there.
No, we all will be. Right now, this is Bob.
May 20th.
May 20th,
right?
Yep. There's probably going
to
be...
May 20th and the 21st. Doors open at 10:30 to 7 on Saturday. And 10:30 a.m. to 5 on Sunday.
I anticipate breaking some attendance records with a lineup of guests that they have. It's insane.
We will be there Friday. We will be there Saturday.
Well, I very, very much look forward to meeting you both.
I hope so. So we do have something of a reputation at these events. We are the fools that open a bar tab, and basically anybody from our beloved 80s movies. If you would like a drink or dinner or anything, we're buying.
Drink, don't say that word. I just had 700 men on horseback over yesterday, and I served them all drinks.
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't quite sure where that story was going. But
700 men.
That's amazing.
Actually, a lot of them kind of wussed out because it was raining, but usually every year they ride from Solvang, the mission, to the ranch behind me, and I'm the last stop, and I make cocktails for them.
Nice.
It's really a good time.
Now,
I've been doing it for like 23 years.
Is that for any particular event or purpose or just something that happens?
It's something called the Rancheros Vistadores, which was started like 86 years ago. Ronald Reagan was a member, Clark Gable, but Clark Gable got thrown out for bringing Carol Lombard back there. There's no women allowed.
Really?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a nice place for the boys to just go hang out and do whatever they do. They drink lots of alcohol and a lot of fun, and those are my boys.
What was the drink of choice?
I usually drink tequila, but my liver said no this year.
Mental notes.
I had a nice little vodka with fresh squeezed orange juice and a little dash of cranberry with a little something else in it.
Mental note.
Nice. Valentine vodka, which is rated best vodka in the world, and it's right in our backyard. Valentine.
Well, wait a minute. I have the best tequila. My girlfriend makes the best tequila. It's a honey habanero tequila, and it goes down like a pair of trousers.
Oh, boy.
Ms. LeBrock, I have a feeling that we are going to thoroughly enjoy speaking with you while you're here in town.
Oh, I could have a good time at a funeral.
Oh, yay.
We've been told the same thing ourselves.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I know our time is almost done here, but thank you so much for taking the time to call in. We are very much looking forward to seeing you and talking with you next weekend. Anything else you want to get out before we cut you loose?
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. No, there's nothing else. God, I felt like getting on my knees just then. It felt like it was a confessional or something.
We're done.
All right, Detroit, watch out. Here we come.
Can't wait.
I just
completely vapor-locked. I'm sorry.
I'm such a maniac. I was going to make him dinner, and the little shit stood me up.
Oh, that seems rude.
It's very rude. Wait till I get a hold of him.
Actually, so there's a good question. So I know that you and Anthony Michael Hall and Island Mitchell Smith are all, like, have you guys been together before this, or is this, like, kind of a new thing?
Well, we've done a few together, and what I really do love doing is the Q&As with them because we have fun, you know. We've known each other so long, and it was so long ago, and it was a precious time. So when we get together, it's happy times.
Yeah, we're actually talking with I was just talking with the PR firm earlier, CKC, about doing, like, setting up, like, a Q&A panel kind of thing that we could possibly help moderate. So, yeah, hopefully that comes to fruition.
Well, just do it.
Okay, then. Well,
right? That's how things happen.
Miss LeBrock said so.
You see it all the way through. I don't know.
Again, I'm vapor locking. Again, thank you so much for calling in. We'll cut you loose, let you enjoy the rest of your evening. And thank you again so much for calling in. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure, boys. Take it easy.
I'm grinning from ear to ear. You're amazing. We'll can't wait to meet you.
All right, Hanson. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I may need a cigarette in a moment after that.
Oh, never did I think, like, she would be that cool and witty and, like, I knew she would be nice, but, like, wow, she's off the charts. Like, I want to hang out with her now.
She just had one-liner after one-liner.
Seriously.
That was awesome.
I was grinning for me. I couldn't even, like, I didn't know what to say.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh.
I didn't know what to say. I'm
Oh, my God, that's phenomenal. Kelly LeBrock.
She vapor locked us.
Totally.
All of us.
Totally. I think she knows it too.
Yes. Like,
there's still one more to go. What were we talking about?
Kelly LeBrock.
No, I meant before that because I don't remember either.
Nothing.
Oh, so events. We're going to be at Converge Friday night. We're going to be at the MRC Con. I always get those two flipped. Next week, and then that's the day before Motor City Comic Con kicks off. And then, yeah, then we've got that rolling. And then the week after that, there's something. And I'm never sleeping again. That's how that works.
So can we talk there's some rants I got to do before Amy Jo calls in.
Run with it.
It's getting ridiculous. Like, you know, I have kids in school, in middle school and elementary school. Did you see the two stories that came out this week that are just absolutely
yes.
mind-boggling? So a kid, seventh grader, Jimmy, likes a picture on Instagram of an airsoft pellet gun.
Okay.
Just hits the little heart on Instagram. The school suspends him for a week.
For liking a picture?
For liking an airsoft toy gun on Instagram. And I'm mind boggled.
How is that even sticking?
I don't know.
I like pictures all the time. I probably shouldn't, but I mean, still.
But you're a grown man.
Like, yeah, this, but, you know, you're not. Come on, though.
I don't want to. I wouldn't want to be a kid in school anymore. Like,
no.
Then there was another story that came out on May the 4th, Star Wars Day. A kid dressed up in Stormtrooper costume, not even like the real stuff, and somebody called 911. That.
Well, that's just me.
No. Somebody called 911 that there's a storm, like someone entered the school, and then like the cops all came, like SWAT, and it's like a, you know, 12-year-old
just kid.
Dressed up like a stormtrooper. In like Toys R Us armor, not even like armor.
Wow.
Like people are just, you know, and I don't know what's going on because there's another story that came out about all the crap going on with airlines, and it goes back to what social media has done to us as a society. Like, if you talk to anyone on the street today and if ask them, is violent crime up or down since the 70s, what are they going to say?
Higher.
By a lot, right? Mm-hmm. It's less than half of what violent crime of what it was in the 70s. It's way less than half, like 70% of drop. But social media has us complete in the 24-hour news.
Well, I think social media also, like, you know, kind of sparks a lot of that too, because look at the thing we saw on the airline. And then right after that, there was automatically like two more fights that just showed up out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, everybody's swinging on airplanes now.
Well, if you look at let's go back to Rodney King. If that video didn't exist, there would be no outrage. Now you have everyone with a video camera in their hand taking videos anytime something like, oh, video.
I'm getting pulled over. I'm recording.
Video, yeah. Right. And you share it. And all of a sudden, outrage. Oh, my God, outrage. And people think these stats and this stuff, like, and you got moms scared now calling, seeing, you know, stormtroopers. Oh, 911.
Who doesn't know what a stormtrooper is at this point? To think that it's something dangerous.
I mean, they didn't know if it could have been a guy from down the block. You know, who knows? And I get it. They're being protective. But you got everyone so on edge and scared now.
That's true, man. But it really is.
I bet you if you looked up stats on airlines, people getting dragged off, that's been going on for years.
It's right? Just now because of social media, people are taking, you know.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're seeing it more and more now.
Right. And they're banning, like, I'm going to ban the airlines. Who are you going to ban anymore? There's no one left to ban. There's only like seven airlines to go, you know.
Right.
Like Dave's completely lost. He just after the Kelly LeBrock interview, he just is gone.
I heard there were for whatever reason, like on the outbound stream, people were hearing us twice. She was coming through fine, so I'm just trying to. I was just figuring out why.
Oh.
I think I figured out somebody touched something they weren't supposed to.
That's always the case.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All better now.
Nice going, Dr. Joe.
I'm there for you, babe.
And the funny thing that gets me too is people still don't know how the internet works. If you watch wrestling, Ric Flair's daughter Charlotte, who's one of the champs, basically they had some nude pictures get leaked either by an ex-boyfriend or someone hacked her phone. I don't know how they got out, and she goes right to Twitter and says, "Please delete these from the internet immediately."
that's not how that works.
No,
that's not how any of this works.
I wish I could, but
no. Like, didn't Putin say that? Like, oh, this picture needs to be removed from the internet. And what happens when you do that?
It was the photo of him made up as a clown in support of gay rights.
Right.
That they tried to make a criminal offense to post that image.
So, news to everyone else: there is still a third grader in all of us. And if you look at me in the eyes and say, I don't like when you call me Skippy.
Have you heard Skippy? Skippy, did you hear Skippy?
In your 40s. I tell that to my kids right now. I go, please don't be the girl that like poops her pants in class because they will talk about it at your 25th reunion. They will not forget. Oh, yeah. Like, you're number two for the rest of your life. I go,
I was like, don't you still know a guy named Nitz?
Who? No.
Because he had lice?
Oh, you call him Skid because he had to shave his head. but like here I am, grown man, and like I go, this stuff just sticks. So like again, it's like no, the internet's not going to remove those pictures.
No, like, never. No, they're on people's hard drives forever and a day.
4chan already replicated it to 1,700 sites.
Yeah, exactly.
Within the hour, just in case one gets taken down.
So one of the ones I thought was interesting was they walked through the whole, can a stadium really ban you for life? And we actually just had this conversation with somebody Thursday night when we were at Mark's wake, that, you know, they want to take your ID, they want to get a photo of you and all this kind of stuff. And can it, you know, can they really ban you? Yes. What are the practical issues that go into banning you? Like, are they really going to be worried about a random fan versus, you know, are they, or, you know, versus actually spending time looking for terrorists or rabble rousers?
It's like a no fly list, like it was Joe Smith. Like, you can't go with this. Like, how do they know?
Well, I think we've talked about this before, where like a friend of mine, her 2-year-old son had the same name as somebody on a no fly list and it made their family vacation hell.
Well, what if you're like buying on StubHub? I don't put my name on those tickets when I buy crap on StubHub.
Well, and that's what they said. Basically, all you have to do is go to a secondary market and buy the tickets there.
Stupid.
So they won't sell you season tickets.
Do you know what's stupider? Speaking of season tickets, have you heard this one? Let's say, so I buy these tickets. I can do whatever I want with them because I own them, right? If I want to sell them on. So they're keeping track if you're using them or not. I don't know how they're doing that, to be honest with you. And they're revoking season tickets for people that don't go enough. So now it's like it's third grade again. They're taking attendance. And
but how do they know it's you sitting in the seat?
I don't know, but everyone's been talking about it for like 3 weeks that they're doing it like crazy. They say, hey, you've only been to 4 games. We're revoking your season tickets. But the guy's like, hey, I couldn't make this game because I had that. And, you know, it's my tickets. I've had these tickets for 20 years.
Right.
Sorry. You know, we're revoking your season tickets. So they're trying to get rid of this whole secondary thing because brokers own most of those tickets. Like when you go on StubHub now, it's impossible to get tickets for anything anymore.
Right. Well, yeah, the minute you try to hop in, you know, and buy tickets for an event, they're sold out.
Right.
Like even on like pre-sale days.
Mm-hmm. And you're stuck buying like the only tickets left are the $395 and you get a lanyard and a kick in the ass.
Or even worse, I mean, it's, you know, it's the $50 ticket that you wanted, but it's, you know, you can't buy it through, say, Ticketmaster, but like 2 minutes later you can buy them through StubHub for $150.
Right. Well, that's my thing. I wait till like 2 days before if I want to go anywhere. Like people just dumping them off.
Right.
Like I can't, you know. That's the only way you're getting decent tickets these days. It's a joke.
So one of the things one thing I do want to touch on, we had I had a great deal of fun Friday night, went and did the Detroit Music Awards for the first time, and had never I'd heard about them. It was weird. The Nooner Show wanted to do a live remote from there, and so I said sure, grabbed the small remote gear, went down, you know, set up the banner stands and all that stuff. Man, it's a weird world that we live in now. I mean, my inner Sheldon came out really, really hard because people know who we are. Like they know who Podcast Detroit is, and they know the stuff they're doing. Like, so the Nooner ladies, Rocky and Jackie, they were going to do – originally it was going to be 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. They were going to record and do a couple interviews. And the guy walked by and he's like, oh, you don't need to shut down. You can keep going through the show. So we've got a lot of – they recorded for 4 hours.
Wow.
So like, you know, we've got a lot of great audio from the show. I mean, you know, ran into Gina Irina Shuto, who was on American Idol and was on our show 5-6 months ago, and remembered us. It was just a lot of fun. It was amazing to see, one, just the incredible diversity of music in Detroit, which you hear about, but I think until you go to something like that, like everybody has their niche. Like everybody, you know, they're rock fans, they're, you know, electronica fans, they're country fans, whatever. Until you go to an event like that and you see exactly how many people are making music right here, you don't know. You can't know. I mean, it's nuts. So that was a lot of fun. So hats off to, you know, Jackie and Rocky for doing that.
Well, those events are almost necessary these days because music, the days of going to Harmony House and asking the guy behind the counter what's cool these days, those are gone. You know, what are you going to do, Google it? Finding music is almost as difficult as finding a podcast.
Right.
I mean, everybody's putting out good stuff. It's just, you know, radio plays 8 songs. Like, you know, where do you find new stuff?
And it's the same 8 songs.
Right, yeah. Right.
I go to Pandora. I listen to things on Pandora. That's how I find new music. But even that gets very limited, especially if you start liking stuff. Pandora will only play that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So then you have to get rid of the whole channel, start it over again, and then don't like anything.
I dropped Pandora because I New Order. And then all of a sudden, I liked the first three songs. And then it was the New Order for 3 hours.
Ever,
I'm like,
yes.
Okay, good. I'm good. I'm good. Like, give me something else.
People who like New Order also like New Order.
Right. I've had my fill. Put on Depeche Mode. Anything. I'm begging you.
Exactly. And then Saturday night. A lot of people know there was a little indie film that was partially filmed here in the studios called UFO, The Otis Files. The premiere was Saturday night out at the Historic Theater in Howell. And that was a freaking blast.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
I mean, it was even with they had a couple technical difficulties with the DVDs just because, I mean, the way – I don't know if it was something between them and in the studio and the theater or whatever. But, I mean, all that being said, it was just – it was a riot. I mean, it was fun to see myself up on film. Bob showed up in a cameo.
I'm angry. No one said I was going to be in a stupid movie. You guys were actually filming and you were like – credited like actors, actresses.
Hey, you're in the credits. Bob, yeah, as himself.
I'm sitting on the couch picking my nose and you guys zoom in on me and then put me in the movie.
And you even have the little like titles on the screen. Bob, just some guy.
I go, so Jimmy says, you're in the movie. I said, no, I wasn't. I wasn't in the filming part. He goes, oh, yeah, you were.
I was so mad I couldn't get my phone out quick enough to get a photo.
Angry. Trico, I hate you.
But yeah, and like I said, and you're in the credits. And Bob, as himself.
Now, is that getting are they going through any distribution on that, or is it just going
to – So DVDs are supposed to be ready by Comic-Con, so there'll be a whole bunch there. We'll have a bunch of them. That's the game plan, is to have them ready to go for Comic-Con.
Nice.
And then who knows about online. That'll be the next event. I got to reach out to Comic-Con because they have that movie room, and I want to see if we can get that, like get a showing sometime.
Absolutely, as you should.
Because that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's a really good movie.
They'll give you from 3 to 5 a.m.
yeah, exactly, on Friday night, yeah. Right. Yeah, which would be bad for them because we'll all be drunk
right.
And staggering in. And that
you think we won't show up?
Yeah, exactly. Challenge accepted. But yeah, speaking of which, and then the after party. Number one, a lot of people showed up to see it, which was kind of cool. It had a lot of backers on Kickstarter, there were more people there than I thought there would be. And we all wandered over to a place called Woolly Bullies and had a grand old time.
And did they play Woolly Bullies at midnight?
Dude, they played – it was weird. Like, so it was like all 50s music, yeah. 60s music up until about 10 o'clock. Which is when I think when the rest of the clientele we sufficiently scared off and it was just us in the back room. And then they started playing more current stuff and off we went.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun though. Really nice place too. And thank God there's a hotel right next door.
Stagger, crawl. Yes.
Watch the pool.
Right, exactly. Yeah, do not fall under the tarp on top of the pool. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Hopefully, Amy Jo will be calling in shortly. Otherwise, we'll be back with the fine folks from Merit Networks. This is the IT in the D Show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 2, episode 195 of the IT in the D Show. Hanging out here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Jimmy McKnight from the Ninja Starship Podcast. Find us online, itinthed.com. There you can go to all our different tabs, blogs, which is Read, Meet, which is all our meetups, Learn, which is our new program out in Flint, which I heard is getting massive signups for basic IT certification. Cool stuff going on. Thank you to Randy and Ian for filling up our the socials on the Twitters. And likings on the Facebooks and all that good stuff. Yeah, so good times indeed. Hey, this this segment is brought to you by our very, very good friends at HostGator. Whether you are a seasoned internet pro like Dave or just starting out with your first website like me, HostGator is an incredibly convenient drag-and-drop website building experience, plus hundreds of templates so you're not going to look like everybody else's stuff. Mobile-friendly options let you design a site perfectly customized to your audience. And the cool thing, they don't cap the number of size of files you're able to transfer. Opportunities are endless, and you can create as many email addresses and forwards as you need. Dave's up
that
to
comes
about
in handy.
Dave's up to about 37,000 of his own for spoof emails. So you might want to use HostGator yourself. Hey, they'll kick off advertising for you. They'll give you $100 worth of credits for Google AdWords and Yahoo Bing. What are you waiting for? HostGator offers a 45-day money-back guarantee. So if it doesn't work for you, no problem. And if you ever need help, they got great 24/7 live expert support anytime. Chat, email, or call. All the tools you need to build and host your website all in one place. So do us all a favor. Go to HostGator.com/IT in the D to sign up. Our listeners are going to get 60% off, 60. That's insane. HostGator.com/IT in the D. Appreciate the support.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. So we are joined by our very, very good friends at Merit Networks. We got Pierrette Templeton in the house. We got Dr. Joe Adams, VP of Research and Cybersecurity. And also kind of a cool add-on, we got Bilal here. He's the co-owner of the Ann Arbor Football Club, soccer in these parts. But there's a cool tie-in with getting kind of youth involved in cybersecurity. So what's, I guess to kick things off, what's going on these days at the Michigan Cyber Range?
What isn't?
That's you got to eat better than that.
I know. All right. So first and foremost, most important thing is the Michigan Cyber Range Convention, which we all know is unfortunately sold out. So nobody can get in, but they can listen to your podcast. You guys will be broadcasting from there. So that's the only way people can get in. We will be doing a kind of a new security summit in November. So anybody that wanted to get in, we're turning people away now. We're over 550 attendees. So I guess just kind of keep your eyes peeled on social media for the security summit in November.
Okay.
So that's really exciting. The other exciting thing not related to soccer is – if everybody remembers back in October, IT in the D was at the Governor's International Cyber Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And there we had a really cool thing called the Governor's High School Cyber Challenge.
Right.
Joe, do you want to talk about what that is?
Yeah. So last year we ran a cyber challenge, got about 300 kids from across the state. They went through a round one, which was 4 days of cyber competition. Certain topics, and they had to solve puzzles. They had to answer questions. We scored that. The top 10 teams, so the top 30 kids, were actually brought to Detroit at our expense, brought them to Detroit, and they got to go head-to-head in a Capture the Flag competition in front of the governor. The top three teams, the governor actually awarded trophies and had a great time for everybody.
So is it getting crazier and crazier every year with what kids are picking up in terms of tech, you know?
Well, you know, I thought that we were going to have a lot of high school seniors and juniors, and the three young men that I had lunch with, you know, they're kind of a great story. They were two sophomores and a freshman, and they got so excited about this, they had signed themselves up. They're from Cadillac, Michigan. They signed themselves up. When we called them to notify them that they had made the top 10 and we needed a chaperone's name to bring them to Detroit, they kind of panicked because they hadn't told an adult they were doing it.
So are they all self-taught? Or are they going on Coursera? I mean, what are they doing?
You know, I think it's a combination of the fact that we're pushing technology courses earlier and earlier in the curriculum. I think that people have computers at home, so these kids are trying stuff out. You know, hey, I want to learn how to program. There's, you know, a million and one tutorials online that they can go and use. So these kids were great, and they scored really high. So we're excited to see that they're already registered and coming back this year.
Huh.
So this is really important because I keep beating this drum every time Merit is on. When I was on here before with Jason, when I saw you at the Cyber Summit, this is critical because by the year 2020, we'll have more than 1.5 million unfilled cybersecurity jobs. So that's just not a crisis for cybersecurity. That's a crisis for economic development, for talent drain. That's a crisis for, you know, private businesses, enterprises, and government. So one of the things that we're really trying to do with the Michigan Cyber Range is act now to create an interest, create a platform for students to really learn about this, and try to really build the cybersecurity ecosystem through middle school, high school, college, and then into the career field. So that's why it's so critical.
Well, and one thing that, that we point out is we also do a lot of veteran retraining. We look at you know, folks that are unemployed that want to retrain. So it's you know, the whole spectrum of the talent pipeline.
So now, I mean, you were saying earlier, entry level IT security jobs are, you know, what, paid upwards of what, 70 grand a year these days?
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize it's a career.
Oh, no question. But I mean, what certification? We always, so the path that we're doing in Flint is getting your A plus, your Net plus, and your Security plus. What's the, I guess, obviously you have to get a more advanced cert to break into security, but what's that path look like to get and to be a professional?
Actually, it's not. You know, at tier one, the entry level, Network plus, Security plus, those are what people are looking for. Tier two, you might get into the ethical hacking. Maybe branch into a specialization like forensics, networks, you know, or even operating systems. And then when you're starting to look into first line management positions, you're looking at things like CISSP. And so, you know, where we start moving you into management, we're not only looking at your ability to understand the breadth of cybersecurity, but we also then add in courses in leadership, communication. You've got to be able to tell people your ideas. You have to be able to convince them that, you know, hey, I've got a plan. Here's why this plan is good. Let's all, you know, get together on it and move out.
So talk to me about the tie-in to the Ann Arbor Football Club. What is the – in terms of, you know, why is Merit sponsoring them? What did you guys see in them, or what, you know, what's the advantage of that?
Before we jump into that, I just want to let everybody know that with that cyber challenge, the online cyber challenge right now, we are doing between now and the month of September, we're doing free online competitions for people to kind of just get ready and gear up for that Governor's High School cyber challenge. So if you go to merit.edu/cyber-challenge, every month we have challenge questions on there that students themselves can take a look at, industry mentors can use, teachers can use for curriculum, you can use it as an after-school club. So we have all this built out on our website right now. Thousands of people are accessing these every single month. So that's – if you're talking right now, I don't even know how to get my students, my kids, my friends interested in it, that is the first place to start. So it's merit.edu/cyber-challenge. Or you can email events@merit.edu and we'll get you all that information. So now I'll let Joe go ahead and talk about what does soccer have to do with us.
Absolutely.
Because that's weird.
So, you know, we got hooked up with AFC Ann Arbor. It's another community-based organization. I mean, Merit's been around for 50 years, been in Ann Arbor. We spun out of Merit Network before the birth of the internet. And so our charter is actually putting people together, connecting people, being a collaborative organization. And when I looked at the folks that go to the soccer games, the folks that play the soccer games, we saw a match. And it's AFC Ann Arbor here, and it's, you know, it's the folks in Kalamazoo, Lansing, Detroit City, you know, the whole section of the league are people that we deal with already. And through this sponsorship, what we want to do is really, you know, get out there, start talking to individuals and saying, look, I can put you back in the talent pipeline at an advantageous position. Just take this ticket stub and sign up.
It's always interesting when I get a call from a new potential sponsor, and my first question is not usually. So what is it that you guys do?
Right, right.
So, you know, Pierre.
Do you make a sports drink?
Yeah.
What?
I was like, you want to sponsor a football club? No. So it's interesting for me because, you know, obviously as we're a newer team, we're going into our third season. We're still doing a lot of community outreach and trying to build our brand and reach and within our community and beyond. So naturally, the time and energy that we're spending in doing that and the audience that we're trying to attract, we're able to find certain partnerships that work, and Merit was just one of those perfect fits. And then once I was able to learn a little bit more about what they were doing, and I actually got to go out to Pinckney High School and see a CTF training going on, it was just like, all right, this is awesome. And this is definitely something that we want to continue to promote, especially to the youth.
I mean, is that something saying, hey, there's a future in cybersecurity? Is that kind of the message? What are you telling the kids?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, being a minor league or semi-pro soccer team, we're at the fourth tier in the whole U.S. soccer pyramid. We're a developmental program, right? So we've actually got guys on our teams who are considering, should I go pro or should I go that career route? So the messaging isn't only within our organization to our players about think bigger, right? You know, you have to consider if you're going to be a pro or not. But that message translates down to
– it's like trading places. Why can't we do both, you know?
dream scenario, sure.
Right.
But I think that especially in today's day and age with the way not only youth – sports, but specifically with youth soccer, like there's a lot of pressure and, you know, to perform and to dedicate to one sport. And I think it's amazing to encourage kids not only to be academically inclined, but specifically to get involved in tech. And for me, you know, just the added bonus is not only reaching youth, but young girls as well, right? It's a message that doesn't often get to them. And we actually have a good connection with all of the youth in the area. But being able to just, you know, really put things in front of them that they may not have seen or had the opportunity to do before is pretty cool.
I'm surprised kids still play soccer as long as they do. Just coming from a tournament this past weekend for a bunch of 10-year-olds with all the screaming parents, it's bananas how these kids like deal with these idiot like our us.
Yeah,
you know, I try to keep my mouth shut, but I mean, sometimes it's so hard.
Or it could be that you're just keep dragging them back there.
Right, exactly. I don't want to go. You're gonna go. You paid good money for this.
Daddy's got plans at the game today.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the Ann Arbor Football Club, actually, since this is podcast Detroit and IT and the D. The Ann Arbor Football Club is actually playing Detroit City Football Club on May 21st at 1 o'clock p.m. We've got some other games coming up, too. So the May 21st game, the June 16th game, and the June 24th game, all of those. And, you know, we mentioned youth. We mentioned high school. These certification classes also apply to adults, too. And anybody that attends any one of those games where Merit Network is present, May 21, June 16, or June 24, we're actually offering 25% off of a certification course. So we're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And those discounts are only available if you go to the game and you get a ticket.
Nice. Right.
And all of those are at Pioneer High School.
Okay.
So it's a nice central location, easy to get to, easy to park.
Yeah, and sure. It's cool that we're playing in the National Premier Soccer League. So we've got we're in the Great Lakes Conference. We've got seven teams in our conference. There's FC Indiana, Milwaukee Torrent, and then the rest of the teams are from Michigan.
So now the Ann Arbor FC is that as crazy as the Detroit FC as far as the games go?
So, yeah, not to hate on you guys. It's not Ann Arbor Football Club. It's Association Football Club Ann Arbor. So a little education there, right?
There you go.
No, trust me. Learning curve was steep for me, you know. AFC Ann Arbor, yeah. So yeah, we have a different – I mean, we've got what we call little hooligans, right? We got some younger ones up and coming, but we don't have that, you know, same vibe that Northern Guard
might
bring.
Smoke bombs and –
Yeah, you know. Yeah. No, but I mean, we definitely have dedicated, passionate soccer fans, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, there was a match last year, you know, a 90-minute match. In the 79th minute, we're down 2-0, and we came back and won the game. We scored 3 goals in 11 minutes, and just like a special, you know, thing to do in a soccer match. And you felt that day. That was the first time I remember like hearing new chants originate from the crowd. That, I mean, that was our second year as a team, right? You have to have new chants.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all new. So it was like, it was really cool for me to see like people getting up and chanting stuff and getting into it and giving the players hugs after the game. So there's a real connection from the players to the audience.
No, it's kind of like going to minor league baseball, independent pro wrestling. There's just that intimacy, like be just closer to the field, closer to the action. Just you're a little bit more passionate about it, even though like we're diehard Lions Tigers fan, you know.
Yeah. And it's extra special just because it's like it's not just happening in one community in Michigan. It's happening all over. And so then like now these little rivalries are budding. And yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is it's not only special for the audience, but the players actually love that connection as well, right? They're coming from college programs or maybe other minor league teams that were drawing maybe 100, 200 people at best. Now they get to play in front of a few thousand people. It's pretty exciting.
Sure. And I know they always say it's kind of segue from soccer back to cybersecurity, but you know, they always get your kids started 6, 8 years old. You know, when do you think is a good time? Like, we talk about cybersecurity, just like don't go on anything stupid. Like, that's about my talks I've had with my kids. But I mean, in terms of getting them in like really involved with cybersecurity, when's a good time to even start that conversation?
So, you know, paranoia starts young.
Sure.
And that's good. You know, cyber hygiene, don't click on links, you know, be careful who you friend.
that's got to start, you know, as soon as you let them out on the computer.
I was just going to say, you know, the minute my kids wanted to hop onto Xbox Live for Minecraft or,
exactly,
you know, that stupid Roblox game, no, we sat down and had the chat and, you know, I let them know that everything is logged and I'm going to see everything they're doing. And this
isn't it funny how the talk has changed over the years?
Oh, yeah.
I would say, just don't forget, and they, you know, you'll make fun of me for this, but like your father built the internet. I know everything. You can't get anything past
me. If not, I'll call Uncle Dave.
right.
So start them young, you know, and then there are a lot of extracurricular activities either on the web or at school. You know, learn how to code. Learn something, you know, what's going on behind that screen. And then as they come up through elementary school, through middle school, you know, there are plenty of competitions and after school programs that they should definitely check out and get into. You know, the days when, you know, I graduated high school, I touched a computer for the first time when I went to college. That's ancient history to these kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think every student from third grade on in my daughter's school, she's in fourth grade now, has their own iPad. They're looking at scrapping all the iPads for the high school students and going to laptops. I mean, it's because there's more, you know, what they want them to do can't be done on an iPad anymore.
That's it. You know, I mean, you know, look at your smartphone and realize you got three times the computing power in your hand than we used to send a man to the moon.
Right. A Furby. I mean, that was an amazing study. A Furby has more computing power than the lunar landing module.
And we use it to argue with strangers on the internet and look at pictures of cats. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's not only basic security. It's also Jason was on a couple months ago, and he gave a lot of good strategies about different password strategies, different ways to protect yourself online, kind of understanding your digital footprint. So that's a good resource if anybody wanted to go to that you can apply to your kids as well as adults.
Yeah, I think
my 7-year-old just had a very hard lesson in that one. He let a friend set up his Roblox account. And so he decided to go ahead and he wanted to change his password so they couldn't get into it anymore. And he didn't pay attention to what he changed his password to, and now he can't get back into his account. And that's, you know, it's basics like that. It matters.
Well, and we're finding, you know, consumer electronics. Everything's got to be connected now. You know, your Serta sleep bed's connected to an app that's connected through your wireless. We're finding a lot of vulnerabilities in, you know, the baby monitors, the video baby
oh,
monitors.
God, yeah.
But creepy stories about that.
Exactly. And
Walsh College has a room where they open up, like, there's just – looks like a little small knock in an office, and it's basically every baby cam open – like in the U.S., it's like, this is how scary the, you know.
Yeah, you can go to a Russian website called insacam.org.
Yep.
And he just collects them. And we found a little girl's room in Pittsburgh. And actually, at the bottom of the page, there's just the little Googled instructions on how to get to her house. And
good God.
So we reached out to the family and said, hey, you know, take this down.
Yeah. Just so you know. Yeah. The internet is not full of shiny, happy people.
You know, and that's the one thing, you know. You know, having a 12 and a 10-year-old daughters, I would talk to them all the time, and like they always talk about, hey, I got to go to this women in STEM thing, and they start giggling. I go, don't laugh. And I go, I don't think people realize that women in IT in Detroit make 22% more than their male counter, you know, just for the, you know, and I don't know why, that, or, you know, what jobs you're getting, but that's just a fact. That, yeah, go. Like, if you're talking about, you know, you want to be a veterinarian or whatever, like, you can almost do just as well in IT.
And the field's so broad. I mean, you've got your hardcore geeks. You've got your compliance folks. But I'll tell you, you know, a lot of what we look for are the people with soft skills. You know, are you articulate? Can you talk to somebody? And can you talk to somebody on a technical level? You know, somebody like Pierrette's never going to put her fingers on a keyboard, but if she can talk about hypervisors and virtual space and, you know, how many cores do you need to run that, she's worth her weight in gold.
I'm faking it so far pretty good.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, how many times have you heard me say, you know, I've been told for 20 years, you know, my best skill is not my technical aptitude, it's I can talk boardroom and server room and make them both understand it.
Exactly. And then, you know, you've been in the business for, you know, 30-odd years like me. It's all about budgets and hiring and manpower. So,
well, the crazy thing these days, we're trying to get people, you know, level one help desk jobs, right? Getting them certified, getting them breaking into IT. And it's amazing to me what I hear as feedback. You can be one of the top employees and not be the smartest guy in the room or gal in the room. But if you show up on time and don't smoke pot, you can pretty much be at the top of your class. That's where the bar is these days on entry-level IT gigs.
I mean, it is. You know, I mean, just show up, be punctual, have a little personal hygiene. You know,
right.
It's so funny that you're talking about, you know, we talked about IoT. You're talking about the how many jobs there are because we talked about the 1.5 million unfilled jobs. Jason Brown wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago called My Coffee Maker's Hacking Me. And, you know, Joe was talking about the baby monitors and things like that. So this whole article, which is on our Merit website, really talks about different ways that manufacturers and consumers can both protect themselves with their data in the IoT. So, you know, we talked about many IoT devices, your coffee maker, your water fountain, your refrigerator, your Nest, all of those come with factory default security settings. And if you choose not to change them, that allows someone to break in. They can hop from that to something else, to your Wi-Fi, and before you know it, they're in every single device in your house.
Does it make more sense when she says it, Bob?
No. I leave all my stuff open.
So,
and where have we gone? Hold on a minute. Let me go. Where have we gone as a society? I'm just thinking about like all the IoT devices I own, and the whole point of all of them is to make them go and to get me not to get up off the couch. Like I have my stupid cooker thing I can turn on with an app. The coffee maker is the whole point is so you can turn on coffee in bed so it on when you go down.
Right, so it's connected to your alarm clock so that when the alarm goes off, it starts making the coffee. And yeah.
My Nest is just so I don't have to get up to change the damn thermostat down.
Well, your three-year-old does that enough for you.
Right. But
well, within the next 4 years, there's going to be more than 20 million IoT devices in the U.S., if that gives you any idea of how many lazy people there are who don't want to turn the coffee pot
18 on. 18 million will be in my house.
How many clappers did they sell?
All of them. Everyone, Grandpa had a clapper.
That's not – is that IoT?
Yeah, well, it's precursor to IoT.
Okay.
It's really –
it's analog.
It's the same
IoT
stuff. What's the difference between logging into Wemo and turning off my lamps or just going like this? It's the same crap.
Well, and I think what you know, specific to Detroit and the, you know, the automotive environment we're in, you know, there are people, you know, listening right now trying to figure out how to make your car look like your living room. And, you know, in terms of, you know, putting in streaming devices and Wi-Fi hotspots and Bluetooth and all this other stuff. And that's going to be a problem.
Well, and now our cars, I just ordered a car and it's got Android App Connect.
Yep.
You know, so there's no escape.
Doomed.
And I want all of it. That's the problem. I love it and I need it and I'm not going to complain.
Well, and then you're like me. You jump into a rental car in some place and you turn on the car and you're looking at somebody else's contacts and email because they Bluetooth synchronized their phone and forgot to zero it when they got out. It's like, oh, wish I had more time.
Derp. Crank calling. But hey,
who last called you from this car?
Right.
Tell them they're a moron.
But we're going to post the links for the Cyber Challenge up on social and then on our recap. But just to find everything, just merit.edu.
Yep, merit.edu. So if you want to find anything more about the Ann Arbor Football Club, like I said, you can get those coupons at May 21st, June 16th, or June 24th games. That's 25% off any of the cybersecurity certifications. And then if you want to find out any more information about the Governor's High School Cyber Challenge, so round zero, the unscored curriculum rounds are going on now. That's merit.edu/cyber-challenge.
Awesome. Piret, Dr. Joe, Bilal, appreciate the time you guys spent with us and look forward to seeing you in the upcoming events. It's going to be fun. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Jimmy McKnight talking all things Power Rangers and the Ninja Starship podcast, and maybe we'll get into Guardians of the Galaxy. This is IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for still listening to us. This is segment 3, episode 195 of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek is across the table from me. If you're keeping score at home, Jimmy McKnight's in the house from the Ninja Starship podcast. Find us online, itinthed.com. Dave, that's your cue.
Sorry, I'm just trying to. I'm still trying to make sure that everything's good and solid. You know me. When something's broken, it drives me nuts, and it's just a thing. Hey guys, this segment is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, and Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome quote-unquote life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor that gave you a cheap shave, or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech that you don't need. When I use my DSC Executive Razor with their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, giving me such a smooth shave, life is good. Their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter is transparent for a more precise shave, helps prevent ingrown hairs, and fights razor bumps. You too can make the smarter choice by joining the Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price. There are no hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. We always love that. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/ITandD. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ITandD. All one word, IT in the D. Again, thanks for the support, guys. Appreciate it.
Have you bought razors lately for like the expensive stuff? They're like $40. You got to get them at Walgreens to like get a key out so you can buy razors.
Well, and what's weird about the whole like razor thing to me has always been is that they come out with like the Mach 2 and then there's the Mach 3 and it's like the old Nintendo, like the cartridges for the 2 don't fit the 3 and so you got to buy new ones and then they make but then you can't get the 2.
It's kind of like my razors. New Samsung phone with a new power port, like you clowns.
Yeah, exactly. That and that's the way the whole razor industry's been for so long. So again, so glad that somebody's actually doing something decent about it. Go buy, try them out.
Absolutely. So hey, we are joined By the infamous, I'm trying to think of something, the illustrious.
Bigger than famous. He's infamous.
Jimmy McKnight's in the house from the Ninja Starship podcast. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, you were brought on because you are the Power Rangers guru, guy, expert,
yes.
Ninja. You're all things Power Rangers.
I'm the podcast Detroit Power Ranger guy.
And it's the
and you wear that with pride.
I do, and it's no shame.
And it's the oddest but coolest niche. Like I always joked with you, like tell me the story about the five power coins, Jimmy, mm-hmm. and you would dissertate it, and it was like ah.
Well, like the cool thing about that is that at least you know with you and I, we really kind of found commonality with the fact that we just like stuff from Japan.
Yeah,
you know, and that whole tokusatsu genre of just you know things that go giant and fight in cities with monsters that are giant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I grew up with you know as we talked about 100 times. Yeah. I grew up with Ultraman and Johnny Sacco and old Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
So when Power Rangers came out. It was kind of like when SpongeBob came out and it looked too much like Ren and Stimpy, mm-hmm. and I screamed blasphemy.
Oh, it is. But it's a complete ripoff.
Yeah, yeah, but I still watched every minute of it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Know, there was the VR Troopers, too. Like, watched every minute of that.
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Totally, yep. Totally. Loved all of it. And it just hit this weird, campy, Flash Gordon-y niche
yeah.
that, like, just everyone loved all that crap. Yeah. I'm going to call it crap, but it was
it
great.
It was good crap, though. It was the yeah. best crap. And, you know,
what else are you going to watch on Channel 20 when you come home from school? That was the first thing that was on.
Right. And they, yeah. they even played it before school.
Right.
But
right.
They had to stop that because kids were showing up late because they're like, I can't miss Power Rangers. Right. I remember that.
Right.
But like you know, the cool thing about us is like you know we do Power Rangers and it is our you know central focus. But you know this show is like three 90s kids that just never grew up. You know we got Norm who's a very DC you know centered guy, and then we have Will who's a very you know Marvel centered guy, and then we have Jess who just perverts everything and makes it all really fun.
I'm sure it's all her fault.
It's totally her fault.
I've never met anybody more into Ninja Turtles. Than Will.
Than Will. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, Will is all about the Ninja Turtles, man.
Like, I'll never forget, kid rides over on a skateboard with number one Ninja Turtles. He's like, guys, check this out. Got this new cool comic. The, you know, Ninja Power Turtle or whatever. The yeah. I can't think of the name. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And, like, 3 months later, I'm immersed in it. You know, like. this is the greatest stuff I've ever, you know.
The cool thing about them is that I just found this out too. Will actually schooled me on this, is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Foot are actually played off of the Marvel Universe because Kevin Eastman is such a fan of Daredevil. The ooze that hits Daredevil's eyes and makes him blind, he made the story of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because, well, what happened to that when it fell into the sewer? And that's why in Marvel there's the hand, and then in Turtles there's the foot.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? So it's total tribute to that. Yeah. And I just found that out. Once I found it out, I was like,
you know, I'm
blown.
I'm still holding – I don't hold grudges, but I'm holding one on you. And we've argued about this.
I don't, but I do. But
so
I am,
when Star Wars came out, usually it's me and Dave's thing. Like, we go. Mm-hmm. And then I go with my family the next day. Opening day's meeting. But Jimmy – we allowed Jimmy to join us for Star Wars. And all I hear walking out is – that movie sucked. Right?
It was Rogue Squadron, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rogue One.
And I'm such
Rogue
a, yeah, and I'm such one, a yeah. fanboy. I'm like, damn it, Jimmy, don't ruin my night. And then I go, all I wanted was to go see opening night of Power Rangers, the new movie, with you. Just so I could scream how bad it sucked. Even if I liked it, I didn't care. And you took that away from me.
I'm sorry.
You took away my moment.
I'm sorry.
Like, you know. You cock blocked the Power Rangers movie.
He mock blocked.
Right. Totally. It didn't allow me to scream that movie sucked in the lobby, which I dreamed about that for months.
Well, I'm sorry. But, you know, speaking of movies, have you guys got to see Guardians of the Galaxy yet?
The second one, no.
Oh my God. This is something you guys really need to check out.
I've heard.
It's so good. Like okay, obviously it's not going to have the magic that the first one has, but it does a very, very, very good job of coming close.
The first one surprised the living hell out of me. I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know that. That's sad.
Yeah, no, and, nobody did.
Right. And it was like they knocked that out of the park. That
totally.
Was a fun watch.
And it was complete. You're right. It was completely unexpected because even when they announced this, like we talked about this on Sunday's show, that even the hardcore comic fans, when they were like Guardians of the Galaxy, were like, who?
What?
Yeah. Right. Why? And then on top of that, not even put the original Guardians of the Galaxy from the comics in the movie. It's all just different people. People that weren't even Guardians.
Right. You see they're doing a like almost like a Guardians ripoff now on the net for the Netflix superheroes with Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and the other guy, I forget the other guy.
Like all Voltron together?
But Luke they're Cage. Voltroning up Luke Cage. Thank you.
Yeah. And they're the Defenders.
Correct.
Well, they're the group. They're the Defenders, right. And then there's the Avengers.
Right.
And then they hang out, and I don't know, you know, how to combine that name.
Neither do I.
Defenders.
Defenders.
No, but like
– there you go.
You know what? Guardians reminded me of like Fifth Element, where it just came out of nowhere.
Yep.
And it went total – it was kind of like I'm amazed still watching like Star Wars how it wasn't campier considering the year. And it's like some – these sci-fi movies come out. It's just campy garbage. But there's – you know – Guardians came out and it was well done.
Yeah.
It was entertaining as all hell. And it's like, yeah, screaming for more. So.
Well, I mean, James Gunn was, you know, the one that kind of just showed up and was like, hey, let's have fun with this and let's put music in it. And then right after that, you see Suicide Squad. All of, you know, they changed their whole marketing program to now they have the good music in the into the movie now. All started
so can I be the one that screams bloody murder that how much I hated Suicide Squad.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I thought that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I liked flat parts out. Of it.
Why does everything have to be Ghostbusters Zool at the top of a building and we're going to destroy the earth? Every movie is now like Ghostbusters Zool.
Big bad, yeah. Big CGI character at
and
the
like,
end. That's, yeah.
They go to, like, and I told Dave this, and I go, this was almost as ironic as finding the Millennium Falcon and then finding Han Solo, which pissed me off to no end in 7, is that, hey, we're going to come up with this group, all these bad guys, and oh, there's a bad guy now. We got to go fight him, all of us. It's like, you were doing this for Superman, and now it's someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing made that movie made no sense.
Well, I think what they're doing.
If it wasn't for Harley Quinn, that movie would have been toilet.
Yeah, Will Smith couldn't have carried that by himself. Sorry.
He was good. He was really good.
Yeah, but not. Yeah.
No. But
that
that
movie was Harley Quinn.
Totally, and the Joker. That was the worst. You could have put me in a little kid's costume, and I would have been a better Joker than Jared Leto. You could hashtag that.
Well, but everything you've read or everything you read out there says that was because they cut so much of him out of that movie for some reason, to the point where, like, he's pissed enough that he wants out of his contract.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything
to
do with it.
Dude, it was like Jim Carrey doing the Riddler as the Joker. That's what it looked like to me. Mm-hmm. It was awful.
In the mask.
In the right. It's like, I didn't know, like, I assume that guy's a good actor. I don't remember what else he was in, but that was terrible.
Well, I think the mistake that they're making with, you know, the big CGI big bads in these movies is, you know, that was in the comics, that was what you saw. These big, giant, you know, bad guys that they were fighting. They're transferring that to, you know, big screen now. And it's not really working. People aren't buying it. It's a good concept.
Well, sorry, it's a different economy of scale. The X-Men aren't beating Apocalypse. Sorry.
No.
I don't care how good. No. Yeah. It's just they're making the bad guys too good, and then it's unbelievable when they win.
Right.
No.
I believe you.
Seriously, no. Like, I don't.
You'll have the same problem with,
Diablo guy grows up to be like a big demon thing to beat the other guy that was a big demon thing. Like, kiss my ass, Suicide Squad.
Out of nowhere?
Right.
Right. Come on. It was cooler when he could just, like, shoot
flame,
fire.
Right.
Like, that
right.
was way cooler. And then he became that, and you're like,
oh. Toilet. It's a giant bag of toilet. I hated it. And I love that crap. I love that genre.
Yeah.
I hated every minute of the whole thing.
Well, I think you're going to like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm sure. So
if you hated it that much, go see Guardians of the Galaxy, right. And it'll totally make up for
cleanser.
It. Right. Yes. Oh, and just, especially because, like, I'm nicknaming this movie Tango and Cash in Space, because nice. It really, really is. You know, you got Stallone and you got Kurt Russell in this movie, and I haven't seen them together in a movie since then.
The only complaint that I've heard is it went Return of the Jedi, Ewok with Baby Groot. To sell shit to
kids.
I've
heard it was very, very marketing hype with Baby
Groot. Yeah.
It's fan service with Baby Groot from the start. He's dancing to you right in the beginning of the movie. It's Baby Groot dancing. People are like, this is what I wanted. And then I think he does that right in the beginning, and then that's it. Then it's the rest of, like, little sporadic things of Groot being cute.
Okay.
But he's just like, here you go, take it, now let's get on with my movie.
Right. How genius is that they can market a tree in a pot and get everyone in America just to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all part of an environmentalist conspiracy to get people to buy trees.
You're going
to
avatar me, butthole. No.
All right, so let's segue away from things that Bob hates. Let's talk cons. Because I know Bob loves cons.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love cons.
Love cons.
You drive everywhere to go to cons. What are you looking forward to in Motor City?
In Motor City, I am really looking forward to meeting Sting, and I am really looking forward to meeting Ryan Perlman.
My black Louisville Slugger showed up yesterday from Amazon.
Yes.
Did you see they dropped his autograph price?
Yeah. I wonder
picture,
if he
I
had
think.
Something to do with
dropped
that.
Dropped 20 bucks off the photo?
I'm,
yeah.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he saw that was like, no. That would be really cool if we could somehow verify that he did that. Just saying.
Right.
I'd be like, I love you, Sting.
We'll just ask him.
Right. And then I need a... Yeah, Kelly, the Weird Science reunion that needs to be on the docket.
Well, and personally for me, the biggest thing is the fact that the Motor City Comic Con is host to the Green and Pink Tour this year, which is the Pink Ranger and the Green Ranger.
So why does that matter? You were talking about that earlier. What's the scoop?
It matters because they were the original Power Ranger couple. Back in the day when the show first started, it was Kimberly, and then when Tommy came in, Kimberly was, you know, all about Tommy, and then they became a relationship, and all of us at, you know, 8 to 10 years old went,
wait,
yes.
They didn't date in Power Rangers.
Totally. They were totally boyfriend and girlfriend, and then when she left the show, he dated the other Pink Ranger.
What happens if they get in a fight, like in Voltron, and like the right arm punching the left arm because they're mad at each other?
Well,
you can't do that.
Yeah, no, they didn't ever fight. They had a perfect relationship.
So, you're not kidding.
No.
Like, this is like, that's this why is, it's a thing.
That's why it's huge, yes, because they were together. God. They were together in the 1995 original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. They were a couple.
So it's
in
like
that.
Joni loves Chachi.
Totally, yes.
But like the Power Rangers.
And the fact
and
that
together.
Amy's kind of like making her comeback into the con scene, or making a real appearance now in the con scene. And tagging along with Jason is the perfect way to really introduce her to then go off and do her own thing because, you know, she's carrying along with this not just Power Ranger stuff, but, you know, she worked on Flashpoint. She's a newly sworn in Canadian citizen. She's a director in movies now. She's going to be doing a private screening at the Comic-Con that, you know, all fans of Power Rangers and whatever supporters of her can actually go see this, which is pretty cool.
So you're not going to go to that, right?
I'm totally going.
Right.
He's lobbying the moderator. Are you kidding me? Right. So, Bob,
MST3K.
I was scrolling through, and I'm. Did you know that Guilfoyle is going to be
no.
there? They just added him recently.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I find it – I don't know why I find this. I find it odd.
I don't know why. I don't know. I like him, but I'm not going to get an autograph from Guilfoyle. I might for IT and the D.
He's just there.
Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman is a media
I did
guest.
See that.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that almost went up to my
so
top
I have,
right there.
He's
now.
Running a booth called Friends of North Korea.
So I have a NWO Dennis Rodman Hulk Hogan 2-pack doll. And I don't, but I hate signed doll packs, mm-hmm. like action figure thing in the package. Mm-hmm. And I'm so torn on whether or not I want Rodman to sign this thing.
I think you should. When yeah. are you ever going to see him again?
I don't want to ever see him again. That's the point.
Just one time. Get it signed one time and call it good.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, seriously, who has the Dennis Rodman Hulk Hogan 2-pack, like NWO shirts?
I don't think anyone does.
That's right.
That's why there's other marks out there.
There's other, there's a few, yeah, like, there's a few idiots like me
that are all having this same conversation.
And then have it towed to their office.
All the ones that listen right now are pulling it out.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And LeVar Burton, who I don't think I've seen at a con here before. Like, I don't know.
No,
you know,
not here.
Next Generation or Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
That's not even an option.
Totally Reading Rainbow. I ran into him at the Great Philadelphia Comic Con.
Okay.
Super nice guy. Super nice guy. I mean, it's Mr. Jordy LaForge who can read you stories.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know,
didn't
such
see,
a nice guy.
Didn't I see Will Wheaton is going to be
here? Will Wheaton. Yes. Will Wheaton. Is also going to be there. So that'll be, we can, yeah.
Can we ask him for a drop and just have him say, this is Will Wheaton. But I'm not eating Wheatlands or Cool Whip. I'm listening to IT in the Day.
And Will, why won't you go to PenguinCon? I think
yeah, that too.
That's the big question. And Jeannie, Barbara Eden, is going to be
how
there.
Old is she?
I would have to absolutely look that up. But she's going to be there all 3 days. Yeah.
Barbara Eden, man. I remember watching I Dream of Jeannie on Nick at Night back when I was a kid.
I Dream of Jarrett. No, I'm not going to be nice. I like that. She was nice, I'm sure. I don't know.
And then Jordan is, she was going to skip this year, but she's going to be there. Jordan Trevelyan.
Ah,
very cool.
She's always fun to hang with.
I did a cameo, Jordan, I did a cameo on the Detroiters.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She Have you guys like, watched that?
It's phenomenal.
It's amazing.
It's they, the first episode was hit and miss,
mm-hmm.
and then they just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
After another, where it's like one of the best written shows. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I've only seen like two or three episodes.
Oh, they're brilliant.
But the ones I saw were absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. Bob, yeah,
Jeannie is 85 years
oh
old.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Why is
85 years old?
And then she's spending it a whole weekend at the con.
Yeah,
that's insane.
85.
That's hardcore right there.
That is.
And then, so do you have any crap in your basement that Big Van Vader needs to sign?
No, I wish the Mastodon helmet that he used to wear to the ring. He was one of my favorites. I loved him.
And again, our favorite topic, there will be anyone who has ever fallen asleep or gone to the bathroom during an episode of The Walking Dead will be at this con again.
With 32 people?
There's quite a few.
You know what? The one always creeps me out, and I hate this stuff, and from Stranger Things too, when there's like a 12-year-old kid like signing and people are lined up,
mm-hmm.
like to me there's just so much like no involved in all of it.
Yeah.
Like I get that you like, you know, 7 from Stranger Things.
11.
11, yeah. 7, whatever, 7-11.
7-11.
I'm not having her sign anything. Like I... Hey.
But why not? Do you think that's you know helping the corruption of the youth of child actors?
Well, I think it makes it impossible for them to have
normal
life at all. You know, because, I mean, it's, you know, let's be real. I mean, you're 10, 11, 12 years old.
And you're famous.
And you're famous, and you go to these, because, I mean, like, cons are a relatively new concept. It's not like, you know, the Dana Platos of the world complain all the issues that she went through on cons, because they didn't really exist.
Right.
But nowadays, I mean, all this stuff immediately goes to your head, and everybody's throwing money at you.
Kids constantly. Come home with 6-7 Gs from...
At a minimum.
Right, from signing a name.
Yeah, you're going to city after city with lines of people that love
you. I love you.
And you're that age. I can see. I see that.
How is it like to work with? That's my worst question at cons, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it more than, like, I know I asked him, Kelly LeBrock, damn it. No, but I didn't say, what was it like to work with him? I go, it's kind of fun to watch his career kind of explode. Yeah. I mean, I would think that's kind of I thought it was anyway, like every time, what was it like to work with Adam Sandler? Mm-hmm. What was it
How
like
did you
to work
feel
with,
about this?
Those oh, no, ones who really was it?
Joy Lauren Adams.
Joy Lauren Adams.
The worst. No one asked about her. What was it like working with Kevin
Smith? And Kevin Smith. On her behalf, we wanted to kill people.
That's completely rude.
I just want to say,
I want to know about all the people that you like I like that you've worked with, not you.
What's your favorite breakfast cereal? Like the questions that matter. like what is she going to say? I really liked Adam Sandler because he was funny and we did good movies. And you know, what is she supposed to answer?
Right.
He was
nice and yeah, cool. And next question.
What?
The dude that played Candyman's going to be there.
Oh, he's always around at the Nightmares thing.
Oh, I didn't go to that.
Right.
Neither did you. We were at PenguinCon.
No, I know.
And then, of course, Christy Swanson.
Oh, can we get her?
Yeah.
I wanted to do a job saying Bob and Dave touched my hoo-hoos. Dude, where's my car? That's my, I wonder if
that's
she,
your goal.
That's my goal.
That's your mission accomplished.
I have like the lineups of what, who I want to say what. Like, and if they don't, I'm going to curse their name on the show after the week after.
Be a complete and total vendetta.
No, I don't, Christy Swanson, whatever you did the last one, I don't care. Like I want to. Bob and Dave touched my hoo-hoo.
There was Dude, Where's My Car? And then there was that Deadly Friend movie where she played a robot.
No, the Charlie Sheen, The Chase.
Oh, The Chase. Yeah. I got nothing.
Right. Come on. The cop was what's from Black Flag. Why can't I think of his name?
Was it Henry Rollins?
Henry Rollins, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Amy Jo's not calling in.
Hashtag you.
No, I'm not going to say anything bad.
Hey, you know, hey, she is a Power Ranger, dude. She could be saving the world right now.
She's not.
I'm just
saying. You know it's the truth. She's not.
No.
She found out you were on the show.
That's probably what it was. She was like, that dude from Philadelphia. No.
Yeah, that geek creep.
That creepazoid.
Every time I looked up, he was staring at me everywhere I went. Like, I'm not calling him.
Like, I do not want to talk to loser tonight, all right?
I still wake up in a cold sweat just hearing his breathing.
Amy Jo, Jimmy McStalker.
It's Stalker McKnight. Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
But hey, appreciate the time you spend with us. We'd like to thank our sponsors tonight, Alibaba, HostGator, and the Dollar Shave Club. Thank you for keeping the lights on. Also like to thank Merit Networks, Dr. Joe, Purette, and Belial. Appreciate you guys spending time with us again. Always cool what you guys are doing up in the Ann Arbors. And love teaching the whole kids part about teaching them cybersecurity. Awesome. Love that stuff.
Well, and thanks to CKC and Motor City Comic Con for getting us set up with Kelly LeBron.
And for making me blush.
For us vapor locking completely several times during the course of an interview, which honestly, the last time we were speechless during an interview was when we were in person with Joey Lauren Adams.
Mm.
We both turned into mush-mouthed idiots and like could not get anything out.
I didn't expect her to be witty and funny. That threw me a huge – I expect her to be like nice and sweet. But then we started cracking jokes. I'm like, whoa, this is good. Like I don't know what else to do.
I think we just doubled our liquor budget for the weekend.
But hey, on behalf of myself and Dave, thank you for spending time with us. Thank you to Jimmy, Ninja Starship Podcast. Look it up. It is the one of my – I only listen to like three podcasts, and that's one of them. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, Sundays at 5 o'clock.
Yes, Sundays at 5
And then, of course,
o'clock.
All the usual places that find podcasts are sold.
Everywhere, yes. Thank you.
But hey, do us a favor. Drink up your drinks.
You know what? I wanted to ask – Are you guys going to come back for Legion next year? We actually got a question in through our site about whether or not you guys were going to do Legion.
I believe Will 100% is coming back for Legion. But I don't think I'm going to be able to. I've got some other things that are going to be popping off soon.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like?
I can't tell you yet.
You suck.
Do us a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week. Beat it.
Disrupt system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.